Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well, Ken. Disappointing end to the Orioles season. Yeah. But other than that, good to see the Ravens really find themselves, especially in that Sunday night primetime game against Buffalo. It remains to be seen just how good Buffalo is, but it's still good to beat the pants off a team like that.
Yeah, it sure is. And they hadn't lost a game in almost 3 years by more than 6 points. So to have the Ravens destroy them in that way is it's a signature win, no matter how we look at it. We got a few things to talk about. We're going to start with the injury report here. My understanding is all 52 players currently on the rosters, they're a man short, practiced today.
Yes, that is what the beat reporters have put out there. Arthur Mollette was a DNP, did not practice, but he is in the midst of his 21-day window to be activated from injured reserve, so he's not currently on the roster. As far as limited practice, Andrew Voorhees was upgraded to limited, and Rasheen Ali, who was also on IR, was limited. And the notable full participation were Brent Urban, Chris Board, and Michael Pierce, probably the most notable after that surprise downgrade on Saturday afternoon last week. I can't recall too many times where news broke of a downgrade at that time slot, but yeah.
It's a little unusual, and you got to be concerned about what it might be. But, you know, shoulder injury always for defensive linemen tends to be very serious, but back practicing full was my biggest highlight of the week from that. They put JAD on IR. I believe that might have happened before our show last week, or did it not quite make it?
I think it was on Friday, or maybe even Saturday. Okay. We got a little bit of a news dump after the show, but before the game.
Okay, so we definitely need to talk about that. They only elevated one player for the Buffalo game, which is a little unusual, particularly since they were going with four defensive linemen. They didn't activate Chris Wormley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised by that. I was expecting Wormley to be called up. And, you know, that's now, what, the second or third? Is it the third time? Two out of four where they've had four D linemen activated.
Yeah, two times. Yeah.
So, you know, they already have 50 special teams only players on the 52. So they don't need to call them up, still go shorthanded other positions in order to afford more special teams aces.
Yeah. And you, if you don't want to use the call ups either, you've got an activation to the roster is possible. I know that costs a little more money, but because some special teams player who isn't playing is going to make his full salary that week. The other guy who's kind of been forgotten so far, or at least he hasn't shown up so far, is Yannick Ngakoue. The Ravens had six outside linebackers active for that game against Buffalo. They got all of them some time. We saw a fair amount of Adisa Isaac in the second half. We got some Octavius Robinson, of course, and Malik Harrison played less than normal, I would say, because there wasn't a whole lot of need for base defense in this game against Buffalo, where the Ravens went to the dime full time pretty early.
That's what happens when you rip off an 87-yard touchdown on the first play. it was a good game script to get the young guys some experience. So glad to see that. TJ Tampa got, I believe, about five snaps or so.
Yep. Missed his first tackle on his first play.
Mm-hmm. But Isaac, you know, I think he got about 15 snaps or so, which is good. You know, these guys missed a lot of time in camp. So one of the benefits of beating a boat racing team like that is you can kind of use it as almost like an additional preseason the fourth quarter or so.
Yeah, that was a very, very good one there. All right, anything else we didn't talk about? I think we talked about Ali. I think we got everybody on the injury report. Well, there was one roster move this week. They released John Kelly. This is an interesting situation with the running backs because they only have one on the practice squad and they have two on the roster. And then they have Ali in this IR-DTR limbo where they don't know exactly when he's going to be active and able to play. And of course, we're going to get to Keaton Mitchell in a minute, but he would be the player they really need to bridge to. But they've only got one more activation for Chris Collier. So they've got one more time they'll use him. And I would presume at the end of that period, they might keep him on the practice squad, but then they really would have to be looking at activating him at some future time being a real possibility, or they might just release him and get another running back, which certainly is a possibility. But so far, RB3, zero snaps in 3 weeks.
Right. You know, I guess you just need that player. It's like your emergency offensive, your last offensive lineman, where, knock on wood, if Derrick Henry or Justice Hill took a knock during the game, you need to have two backs at least, or potentially, possibly, both could be knocked out in the game, God forbid. So, I think it's prudent to have three. You'd like to maybe have a little bit more talented player serving as that third who demands some touches on offense, and that will hopefully be Keaton Mitchell later in the season.
Yeah, and obviously the ideal thing is to have an actual contributor there. But in a game like this, I was actually a little surprised Chris Collier didn't get on the field late for the Ravens. Now, they were trying to get Henry up to 200 yards for a little bit of time, but they had still some plays, still some snaps with Josh Johnson at quarterback, for example. Would have been perfect to have Chris Collier on the field and let him get a couple NFL touches.
Yep, they could have used some pulled out some of their marquee offensive linemen too towards the end there, but all five linemen played 100% snaps.
Yep. All right, well, let's move on. The big news this week is the trade request by Davante Adams. Now, there's a lot of talk on Twitter about a desire to have Davante Adams in a Ravens uniform. And unfortunately, we talked about that on the show a lot. Of course, I talk about it all the time, is how basically any older name wide receiver is make it happen, Ravens, you know, from a certain segment of the fan base. But we want to talk in as realistic terms as we can about what are the steps the Ravens would need to go through to make Davante Adams work for them. Okay. And there are a lot of hurdles here to clear that we kind of need to talk through. And hopefully, you know, whichever side of the argument you're on, we're gonna at least address some of your concerns on this. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, we'll talk about his existing contract. Do you want to take that, Josh? Boss.
Yes. It is $941K per week plus. I'm reading the wrong one. I had another 940K. I was only off. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Per week plus a game bonus. So it's very costly. It's about $1 million per week. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens don't necessarily have that. To the supporters of this idea's credit, he's not a completely washed, you know, ancient player whose prime is well behind him. The Ravens just saw him have a terrific game against them a few weeks ago. So I can see where it's the idea is coming from, especially when passing offense has arguably been the reason the Ravens have lost in the playoffs several times. Those are my top line thoughts, I guess.
All right. Well, fantastic. So, you know, he's got $13 million on his contract still this year for 13 games. So he's $1 million a game guy. The next 2 years, correctly, folks have pointed out, those 2 years of the contract could be entirely torn up. There's no guaranteed money. And in the process of the Raiders trading him to the Ravens, they would accelerate any unpaid prorated dollars, so those don't accrue to the Ravens. It's only the guaranteed money the Ravens would be on the hook for. It's the rest of this season's salary. I'm not even sure if they cut him at some point during the rest of the season. No, because I don't think the acquired after week two rules would hold for acquired player.
Okay.
So I think they have to pay him for the rest of the year. So, but in any case, the next 2 years of the contract essentially have no value to anybody. Would mm-hmm. be the one argument for getting him is that, look, nobody wants him at that price. So effectively, you don't have to pay for those years. I think there might be a sliver of value that what we used to call in baseball, a second division team might find in a player like that, that they have the value of potentially being able to sign him
right
during the period they have him, certainly for the rest of the year, and they might trade something for him.
Similar to Roquan. So the idea was that you have Roquan in the building, you can really get a good gauge on him, and it's going to help you to be able to re-sign him, and that's why maybe doing the midseason trade when they acquired Roquan was beneficial for the team. I don't necessarily want to extend any players that are going to be 32 years old in December. I'll say that off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is a big concern for me. I'm trying to get this down to what's the trade compensation mm-hmm. needed. And, you know, there's one report that the Steelers have offered their second round pick in exchange for Adams. That's already way out of my ballpark for paying for him. And the Jets offered a series of picks, which might be a little bit less, but includes a third. But it's a little bit less total JJ value, for example. You might get more Rich Hill value out of that mm-hmm. potentially, but it's a comparable, slightly less package of picks. A lot of discussion that Devontae may really want to go back to play with Aaron Rodgers, that would be
to the Jets, right? And interestingly enough, the Jets are pretty well stocked at receiver with his other buddy Lazard, and they have Wilson, who's one of the top mm-hmm. guys. And Mike Williams, who they acquired from the Chargers, who had a pretty good game last week, too. I don't think receivers is why the Jets are kind of middling right now. But to that point, the rumor I heard, and I believe this was yesterday, was that the Raiders would be willing to accept the second-round pick. And if you wanted the Raiders to eat some of his contract, as Ozzie Newsome has the Jaguars to do with Eugene Monroe and Eric DaCosta had the Bears do with Roquan Smith, it'd be more like a second and a third. And then you're sacrificing potentially a Pro Bowl level player that you're going to draft for team control on day two of the draft for a half season rental. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, that is exactly. It's a 13 game rental. So if they got him right away, actually probably the quickest you can get him on the field is probably 12 games at this point if they acquired him. But still, you know, you certainly can derive value out of a player like Adams this season. I guess I'm more concerned about what I'm hearing, because I think any kind of texture added to the auction nature of this transaction is probably going to go against the Ravens' favor. Mm-hmm. Some other team is going to value their picks less, and probably correctly so, because they don't have Eric DaCosta making them. And is going to be willing to trade them away like candy and treat them as less valuable than they should be. In terms of getting the Raiders to take a portion of his contract in exchange for the thing, I don't know that the Raiders are going to be the best. They may be willing to eat more cap for a pick, or they may say themselves, you know, hey, we haven't been, let's look at the second round players we've drafted over the years. Have we really gotten, or third round players, have we really gotten enough value out of these guys to take a big cap hit in exchange for that? I think they may say no on that. But anyway, there are other teams. My fear is that it's going to be a Montez Sweat situation where the Bears acquired him in a year where they're not going anywhere. And he effectively could have been just a rental. Okay. And yet their idea is we never have a chance to draft good players because we're not any good at it. They probably would rather be boiled in oil than admit the second part of that. but we need to have a chance to sign a guy, to bring a guy into the building and sign him. And you know, I think, you know, that is a way to play it, but it really shows you how important it is to be drafting good players and be able to go through the selection process with your own guys where you might get some discount, particularly if you sign them early, stay with you, as opposed to trying to sign other people's players, which is always going to be at an auction market price.
Yes, agree with that. I don't know how motivated he would be to play out. I mean, he missed last week with a hamstring injury. I don't know the severity, but it wouldn't be. And he's out this week with another hamstring. And how motivated is a Davante Adams at this point in his career to put up empty stats on a salad roller? I don't know that he would. For all we know, this hamstring could linger throughout the rest of the year if he's traded to a team that he doesn't want to play for necessarily.
That's an accusation of some note. That's pretty possible. you know, what the Ravens do have to offer for Adams, if he wants a Super Bowl window, this is a great place to come to. And I think Kay Adams has asked him the question improperly phrased. You can play with Lamar Jackson, be guaranteed a Super Bowl. Well, the Ravens are outstanding, but nobody's guaranteed a Super Bowl. Not anybody. Adams would be taking a chance on the thing. Let's go through the Ravens specific cap concerns here, because I don't think we've done that completely. The Ravens have only $4.3 million in 2024 cap available. So they have to get help through restructures, eating by the Raiders, or otherwise changing the contract, the nature of the contract, re-signing him and doing that in order to reduce the cap hit for 2024.
Yes. Really, it'd probably be Lamar. Lamar's the one that makes sense. You don't want to restructure Mark Andrews or Marcus Williams at this point, or maybe even Marlon Humphrey. So you'd probably tap into that Lamar. You already pulled that lever with Tucker and Roquan and one other player right before the season. I don't quite recall who it was. More concerning to me is seventh worst, $17.3 million cap space next offseason, and that doesn't include filling the roster all the way up to the 53.
Right, and which gets you down to $7.8 million, by the way, in effective cap is what that's called. Yeah.
And you're going to need to bolster the offensive line with your left tackle. Ronnie Stanley's on a restricted free agent. Your starting right tackle / left guard, Patrick McCary, is also Ben Cleveland, who may still be a contributor this year as an unrestricted free agent. And you're also scheduled to lose your third and fourth wide receivers on the depth chart. They're both UFAs. So you need those picks I think you need those picks to probably help fill those positions, and you need that cap space. Passing offense is important. I don't want to skimp too hard on the offensive line or wide receiver and make that a common trend.
Yeah, and you know, I think what's been shown at wide receiver in recent years is that you're much better off drafting the players when the price gets this high. Also, you buy into the decline phase of their career. But you know, next year I've got another bigger concern. What I think is a bigger concern: there's an enormous group of 2022 draftees who are up for early extensions, and the big ones are likely Linderbaum and Jones. Now, Adafioe is like that group because he's playing under the fifth-year option in 25. Okay, so they've already committed to do that. But they're going to want to restructure him if they can and do that this offseason. That is four absolutely cornerstone contributors the Ravens are going to have to figure out how to keep. They do have some guys I think they'll let go, but they will lose their opportunity. Honestly, Linderbaum will just be a free agent because I don't think they're going to put the fifth-year tag on him, given that it's basically offensive tackle money
right.
They'd have to pay him. Likely and Jones aren't candidates for the fifth year option. So it's not a matter of that. This is their third year now. They can be signed after this offseason. This is the opportunity for divisible benefit with those players, mm-hmm. that there might be. They take a little bit less because they take some risk off the table. Ravens have been outstanding at that. I think if they pass up that opportunity, they'll regret it.
I believe Likely and Travis Jones would be excellent early extension candidates. I don't think you gain so much from the top of the market, you know, Kyle Hamilton type, going to set mm-hmm. a new APY record by doing the early extension. At that point, you might as well let them play it out and see if maybe they get nicked up and you get them cheaper that way. But guys like that that haven't quite reached the notoriety, the apex of their potential earnings, those are the guys you want to be able to sign early. I'd certainly be in favor of that, no question.
Right. Well, going back to Hamilton, because that's a really important name. They have an extra little bit of leeway because the fifth year option is cheap for Hamilton, and mm-hmm. he's just playing his third year now. They can play his fourth and still get an early extension after 25. Unlike Linderbaum, who I don't think they can really afford to pay him the full fifth year option, or put him on the fifth year option after this season, which means he's going to be a free agent at the end of 25, no matter what. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I have a little more leeway with Hamilton, in my opinion. So, and you mentioned earlier, which is a central point, is they have to allocate dollars for left tackle. They might get really lucky. Rosengarten plays well enough at right tackle. They give him a trial at left tackle. He plays well enough there that they say, you know what? We really need a right tackle, not a left tackle. It'd be that much cheaper, that much easier to get in the draft, but it's going to be a costly combination of draft and cap value.
When you look at the contracts given out to top tier, or at least top available right tackles in recent years, even Kansas City with Taylor, they're not that much cheaper than left tackles. They're really not. So either way, you got to earmark some dollars for the O-line.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we go through all this, we're not saying Davante Adams is not a good player. Okay, I think I have modest, decline concerns for Adams, but basically, I would admit that he's certainly a good player. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy you that can't help you potentially win a Super Bowl. It's a matter of just there are so many little pigs at the nipples of that they're taking the cap dollars for next year. It's already completely allocated, and that's very common when you have a quarterback on a second contract. And you have a frankly extremely deep and talented roster that, as we look at it right now, really only has one significant question mark across all the position groups.
They pretty much have a cornerstone. I would say the Ravens currently have a cornerstone contract at every single position group except.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See home club for details.
Wide receiver. That's the only one they don't have a cornerstone contract. Mm-hmm. On the D line, you have Matabike. Linebacker, you have Roquan. At corner, you have Marlon. At safety, you have Marcus Williams. O line is Stanley. Tight end is Mark Andrews. And running back is obviously Derrick Henry. So, you know, you're top heavy. You're barbell. You know, we had, you said this conversation years ago, and I preferred more of a barbell style, and you did not. And they've gone more in that direction. I don't think that can be debated.
Right. That is, by the way, that is a way they can create a little more cap in 25, is to extend Marlon Humphrey. Having a great year, if they did it right now, they could extend him and find more value there. That would be that'd be one way to do it. And I'd be very excited about that. He's playing very well, so it's not outrageous. But I think we're looking at who gets cut. They've got really only three guys they can cut to make some cap room, and it's not a whole lot, even all of them. Mark Andrews is the big one. He's 11 million of what they've got available. It's about 19 million. Maybe they've got in total 18, 19 million in that range. Marcus Williams is about 5.3 million. If they cut him, I think the chance is pretty good, but they have to find a new free safety, which will be a big draft capital hit to try and do that. And then we've got Mollett. Now, Ardarius Washington's playing very well. They've got other defensive backs who played well. I think they would be likely to not follow through in the second year with Mollett if things go well this year with the others.
Well, Ardarius is unrestricted after this year as well. So, yeah. And I don't know if you'd be able to sign him for cheaper than what the second year of Mollett's deal is. Maybe not, because Mollett bounced around a pretty good bit. I mean, I feel comfortable they can find a slot quarter.
I've got to stop you here. Ardarius is restricted actually next year. And he's got a weird thing where he's been in the league, but he hasn't gotten credit for service time. So he would get – this is the Ravens roster I'm looking at. It has him as a year three player. So they'd make him an RFA offer next year and get value. Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, then certainly I'd be in favor of letting go of Mollett.
Mm-hmm. So let's say, are there other cap dollar concerns before we move on? Because I want to talk about some of the other schematic issues.
I'm ready to go on the schematic as well. Yep.
Okay. So I don't know whether the soft concerns or the scheme concerns come first, but how about we talk the scheme concerns first, because I think they're more direct about this. But, you know, who does Adams replace on the field?
He replaces Bateman because he and Bateman are similar players. They're timing-based, precision passing technicians. So, A, off the bat, that's not a perfect fit with what Lamar right. likes to do, the improvisational nature of Lamar. Secondly, I'll let you respond there, and then I'll go to my next scheme point.
No, I mean, you're right on target. You haven't missed it all. But the fact that if you're bringing in a receiver who needs to on-schedule throws and – you know, Keon Coleman was a guy a lot of people liked in the draft. And we saw him really take Brandon Stevens to the woodshed a couple of times down the left mm-hmm. sideline on some back shoulder throws. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, it'd be great to have Keon Coleman, except Lamar would never throw that back shoulder throw because mm-hmm. he can't see it. Okay.
Yep.
And he can't see it happening. So he doesn't want to take a risk with the football like that. And I am afraid that some of Adams' wiggle and separation ability at the top of the stem is going to be wasted in the way that Bateman's has been here.
I agree with that. The other schematic comment I'd have is it would require adjusting the scheme again. So it just took Todd Monken about 3 weeks to figure out how to properly assimilate Derrick Henry into the offense and, you know, a player that demands touches. Devontae Adams had 175 targets last year. So he's a very high volume type of player. I don't think he'd be happy without seeing targets. And you're going to have to throw the ball more than they have six targets to receivers last week, I believe, in the game total for Aguilar, Flowers and Bateman combined was six targets.
Wow.
So I just
and
don't
Aguilar
know how,
got three of those.
Right. I don't know how you make that work. I really don't. He's the foil. He's the complete opposite of what they do when they have these type of 2019 style beatdown games.
Yeah. So I that's definitely in my soft concerns, which I want to get to next about the thing. I'm going to say there's something else going on scheme wise though. The Ravens do have a running offense, and Adams is going to be on the field for some of that because that's how you derive value from him is you know, basically drawing defenders away mm-hmm. from some of the Ravens run plays. But you know, he's been, you know, in the simplest terms, a really crappy run blocker the last few seasons. And I wonder if that will mesh with the coaches here, if they'll, you know, basically one of the things they're going to take him the very first day he gets to practice and say, hey, look, we really want to teach you how we block the run here. And he's going to say, what the hell are you talking about? You know, I'm here to catch the football. It won't go exactly down like that, but it will be something that I think when he's seeing three targets a game and having to make 14 run blocks a game, he's not going to be happy with that sort of a relationship between the two things. I think that's where it will start to be an upsetting thing. Then Lamar won't see him at the appropriate time, the way Aaron Rodgers did, because Aaron Rodgers, great timing quarterback, and he'll get that much more pissed off.
Yeah, I can see a meltdown on the sideline. You know, you want to have some of those big personalities on your team. You want to be, tap into some of that 2000 Ravens style. But at some point you reach too many and they're competing with each other and it can really blow up in your face.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in terms of that, it's all about us. Everybody needs to do their own job. The accountability component, that works very well on the defensive side of the ball. So mm-hmm. you can have the biggest personalities, larger than life, Terrell Suggs and Rod Woodson and Ray Lewis and Chris McAllister can mm-hmm. all play together on the same team. But if you throw, you know, three Devontae Adams on the offense, all of a sudden you got a problem.
Yes.
You know, or you have Devontae Adams and Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, maybe even you have a problem.
Right. Right. I agree with that. I think it was 2 weeks ago that Zay Flowers was a comment in social media along the lines of he wishes he was targeted more. We've seen players, Hollywood Brown, who was very much less accomplished than Adams.
Yes.
And, you know, it happens. It happens with players. I don't blame the player. They want to help the team win. You play sports and you feel like you're not getting the opportunity and you could be the reason the team wins or loses. You chirp, you say, tell your coach that sometimes. I actually had that on the side, but my son's soccer coach – Didn't play him very much in the second half 2 weeks ago. And then last week, and I said, what's going on here? And then last week he played him and he scored the game winning goal. So I can relate to that. But anyway.
Very good. Helicopter parent, I can see right there. Very good. another thing that would kind of concern me about this is whether Lamar will immediately have the trust for Adams. Now, I presume that's not going to be an issue, but we've seen, a timing, route running wide receiver like Bateman, they just have never been able to build the trust. And right. there would be a risk that the ball bounces off Adams' hands a couple times, and Adams is certainly not immune to drops. That he may, become a guy who's a pariah within the Ravens scheme. It becomes not the automatic extended target and whatnot. That's another thing too. Adams really has to complete his routes and then keep going with the Ravens, with the way Lamar plays. It may be something he's okay with. It may not. So, we'd see about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think he did a decent job of that in the early Rodgers years when Rodgers was a little bit more mobile, a little bit more of an improv guy. So I don't necessarily think that's a huge concern, but it's just, how does he fit the scheme? I don't think he fits it very well. Not this new scheme. If this was the scheme they were running last year, probably a little bit better.
Do you think that Harbaugh would take well complaints from Adams about his target share? If Adams went into his office and said, hey, coach, this is ridiculous. We're running the ball, 30 times a game. I could be getting us an extra 50 yards a game if you just threw the ball to me five times.
No, I don't think so. I don't think, Harbaugh, wide receiver, I believe, is his least favorite position, just based off the comments he's made to the media on the field.
Hopefully it's something that can work out. Anyway, it's not, I really believe that Adams could help the Ravens in some ways. I just think there are so many barriers to this. And I will start with, I'm not even 100% sure on this Ravens team this year that I want Adams at $1 million a game. That's my first barrier, and I can't get over it. And once I'm there, then I have to have negative net trade compensation involved, which means the Ravens probably give a draft pick, but getting a lot of cap relief. And I don't see that combination working for Las Vegas.
I agree. And in my personal opinion, the Ravens could use more at receiver. I know a lot of times you like to talk about four to make three at the safety position or something. I think you need four to make three for the times when you need to run 11 personnel, when you are facing a negative game script. You need to have, and Nelson Aguilar is your three, Tylan Wallace is your four. That's pretty weak, but I don't think you need Devontae Adams. A couple other players, just quickly, that Jason Fitzgerald wrote an article on Over the Cap. Now, two of them are in the division, so I don't know if they're a possibility or not. But Amari Cooper, 31 years old, would only cost $941,000 for the rest of the season. His teammate Elijah Moore, who's 25 years old, a little bit more of a slot man, a little bit more expensive, $2.4 million, both unrestricted. And one other player that I think could maybe complement.
$2.4 million per game or $2.4 million total for Elijah
for the whole
Moore.
Season. Yep. If they traded him this week. So $941,000 for the whole season, the whole rest of the season of Amari Cooper. And he had a
He had a
pretty nice back shoulder fade touchdown from Deshaun Watson 2 weeks ago, I believe. I think he still has some gas left. Another player, Tutu Atwell, who's currently playing for the Rams. He's gotten a lot of opportunity the last couple of weeks with their top guys out. He's 26 years old. He does have deep speed, deep crossers, and he would be $1.2 million for the rest of the year, also unrestricted. Those would be some players that would make sense to fill the need without – breaking the bank and blowing up your future cap flexibility.
Right. Those are good suggestions, Voss. I appreciate you coming up with that. All right. So I guess my only other concern is about Adams' potential decline here. 2022, he was playing with some bad quarterbacks, but he had a really lousy year, 2023, despite roughly a million targets here. Let me get it to a second here because I thought this was something that his – yardage is still up there at 1,100. Well, yardage is a garbage stat for these purposes. He had 175 targets and 6.5 yards per target last year. Now, he was playing with Aiden O'Connell at quarterback more than half the season, so you could point to that. But that's not a good level for a receiver to be at. I can't pull any positive from that. He did have 8 touchdowns, you know, for 175 receptions. Again, that's just okay. It's not great. Certainly, it was a drop off from pretty much his entire career that to that point. I think we're more likely to be acquiring a player who's like Michael Crabtree a little bit later in his career. Adams has not quite been through the kind of very steep multi-year decline that our other players have been in. Two years ago, he was in the 6th of 6 consecutive Pro Bowl seasons.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think he's still one of the top 10 or 15 receivers in the game. I would maybe anticipate, if this trade were to come to fruition, more of a Anquan Boldin type, where he had some quiet games here and there, but when you needed to go pass heavy, he was there and could put up big numbers for you in that situation. I just don't think it's worth the money in the draft pick for that role that he would cost.
All right. Very good. We got one mailbag question this week. Let's get to that. And it's from Kid Rock 20. And he says, Kenneth Voss, what is your ideal starting offensive line combo at this point in the season, now that we have 4 games under our belt? It got a lot more confusing with the combination of the injury report and McCary start at left guard, didn't it?
Yes. I think 4 positions, I feel pretty strongly. In 1 position, I don't have a great suggestion, but Ronnie Stanley's obviously playing at a very high level. One of the best seasons, probably one of so far, probably top 3 start to a season that he's had in his career, I would say. Mm-hmm. Tyler Linderbaum playing at a Pro Bowl type level. Roger Rosengarten had a very strong debut as a starting player, and taking a lot of snaps against Von Miller, is not what he used to be, but still a good player. I personally prefer Ben Cleveland to Daniel Falele at right guard. We compared, probably Ben's had, 5 or 6 starts versus Falele's 4. Better pass blocker and probably did a little bit better in the run game as well, just because he has more foot speed and has an equal anchor, because they're both massive humans. Left guard's the hard one. I guess I kind of went with the default choice here. Don't have a lot of confidence, but I guess I go with McCary. I don't like the combination of McCary and Linderbaum next to each other long term, because they're both a little undersized for a pass heavy game script. But you don't have a great option there, at least from what we've seen so far.
Right. We haven't seen Cleveland get a chance there. He has in the past, but he has not recently. But if I had to pick one player, I'd probably like to put 2 monsters, one on either side of Linderbaum. Mm-hmm. I think you get the most out of Linderbaum under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. So I would pick him there. I don't have a problem continuing with Voorhees. And as of this moment, and this is the kind of thing, you know, scoring offensive line play, I want to allow myself to be continually surprised by the information that's collected. And beyond that, I don't want to become wedded to any particular position on one particular player. And Falele, you know, has looked oafish the first 2 weeks, and then better these last 2 weeks in 2 different ways. And that's what's really important to me. In Dallas, he was getting to level 2 and making a lot of level 2 blocks. Now, that completely regressed in the Buffalo game. He went to level 2 and he couldn't find anybody. Part of the reason was they're asking him to make screen blocks, which are much further out in level 2, require more ability to make up ground to find that. And that's going to be inherently more difficult for his size and shape. But mm-hmm. I think he can give you some value on combination blocks, particularly where he only has to move up a half level or opening the front gate on a typical power play. I'm buying into. I thought this week he had a really nice showing as a pass blocker. Now, got to take that with a grain of salt too, because it's a low volume, high efficiency passing game. No doubt helped him in terms of what he's doing. PFF will separate things into true pass sets and other pass blocks. And so the true pass sets are always lower numbers. And that's when the defense has their ears pinned back. That tackle has his right right foot back. He's trying to get his slide step started early. But when you're in more of a vertical set, and it's less true, of course, at guard that this is the case, but you still have interior rushers who are worrying about penetrated and not worrying about, you know, controlling their gaps for the run. Mm-hmm. Then you have a situation. So anyway, in terms of Falele, right now, if the coaching staff believes this is the right call to keep Daniel Falele at right guard, I'm okay with it, at least for the next couple of weeks. I think these last 2 weeks, I think he's earned the right to fail.
And Rosengarten at right tackle? Or McCarron?
Rosengarten at right tackle for me. And so that's the only one. Obviously, Stephen Clanley, Stanley and Linderbaum at the other two positions. And I'm okay going back to Voorhees. McCary is not my favorite choice for this. I think it's actually a really bad risk management decision to have your best backup tackle in the game at another position. And I don't have the complete trust in Josh Jones that a lot of other folks seem to have, that he's going to be an okay backup if that were to happen.
That's a very good point. Very fair point. We're going to learn a lot more about the offensive line as we get into some intra-divisional games where you're playing against teams that have pretty decent linebacker play, and they know Lamar, and they know, you know, some of the ins and outs, especially Pittsburgh. Lamar hasn't had his greatest performances against Pitt. So I think that'll teach us a lot about the offensive line.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Oh, thanks Kid Rock 20 for the question. Really appreciate it. Voss, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can either read your stuff or perhaps talk football with you online.
Certainly. So I'm no longer with Baltimore Beatdown. I didn't mention that to you in the pre-show, but we've parted ways, and I am exclusively on Twitter and doing your podcast. And I still do the podcast with Yuri occasionally as he's in the Space Force. But my new Twitter handle is at Vasilis Fiamata, VASILISFIAMATA. Fiamata is the name of my new restaurant that's going to be opening up next month.
Any new news about that, or do you want to defer talking about it? Tell us what's going on.
We're in the process of construction still, you know, a lot of hoops to jump through. We want to do things the right way, safety wise and longevity wise. And we're making progress day by day, chipping away.
All right. Looking forward to that. Other folks out there, if you want to support the show, and we have some remarkable people telling us how they like the show, try and tell somebody else about it. Show them where it is, you know, forward the link to it to someone else. If you're listening on YouTube and you like it, hit like and subscribe. That always does a little more favor of driving traffic to it. I know when I look through my own YouTube videos, I occasionally film study comes up and I see it there, but somehow that algorithm is driving occasional traffic to us, and we really appreciate it. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.